Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
It's the Brian Lehrer Show on WNYC. Bonjour, listeners. Buenos dias. Ni hao. Because now a call-in on language. And when you can, should, or do, use one other than English. Whether you're bilingual or multilingual or only speak English, we want to hear from you on your guidelines for when it's appropriate to use a language other than English, either at home or at work. Do you use another language to communicate so your kids can't understand you? Or so that only your kids know what you're saying in a room full of others? Do you use it at work when your boss or a coworker doesn't understand? Have you ever been reprimanded? Or are you on the other side of this situation and you're the one who doesn't understand? How do you feel? How do you handle it? Employers, do you have rules about this for your workers? Where do you draw the line? Give us a call, 212-433-WNYC, 212-433-9692. What are your personal rules, both privately and in public, for when you speak in a language other than English, 212-433-9692. Or you can leave a comment about this at WNYC.org. Click on Brian Lehrer Show. Why are we bringing this up? Well, as some of you know, this has come up in the news of late. First, it was Whole Foods. Now it's the NYPD that's facing criticism for an English-only language policy in the workplace. Maybe you remember a story from a few weeks ago about two Whole Foods workers in New Mexico who were suspended for speaking in Spanish to one another in a store. The company has now revised their handbook and changed their English-only policy on language in the workplace after petitions and threats of a boycott. It's no longer a rock-solid rule that they cannot speak Spanish to each other, those workers. Under the old policy, conversations among coworkers had to be in English when employees were on the clock and, quote, discussing work-related tasks or subjects. That was the policy. Now Whole Foods employees are asked to be, quote, sensitive to others who may want to join your conversation. So it's more situational, more judgmental. Here in New York, the National Latino Officers Association is criticizing an NYPD policy after several Spanish-speaking officers were warned on the job. According to an internal NYPD newsletter obtained by the Daily News, cops have to, quote, speak English while they are conducting business for the department unless speaking a foreign language is a necessary component to performing their duties and responsibilities, unquote. That is, they can use any language necessary to speak with victims, for example. Here is Commissioner Ray Kelly defending the policy last week.
We walk into a police station and you hear people speaking a language among themselves other than English. It certainly could be, at the very least, disconcerting and not necessarily a signal that you're there to assist. So to me, it's common sense.
Commissioner Kelly, so what are your personal guidelines for when it's appropriate to speak a language other than English? These two work-related workplace stories prompted us to ask the question, but we want to hear about your personal rules too. For example, parents, do you use another language to communicate privately with your kids or just with your spouse or partner to keep the kids out of the conversation if they're only growing up speaking English? How do you use it in public? Have you ever been in a tricky social situation? 212-433-9692. As your calls are coming in, we ask this question on Facebook. You can add your own response there to facebook.com/BrianLehrerWNYC. Mark wrote, my wife speaks Spanish that she learned in the 1960s in New York City public schools, and many times we've been somewhere when Latinos have said something disparaging about her, she turns around and reads them the riot act. Ha, have you ever been in that position? And does that remind you of a certain episode of Seinfeld where Elaine is sure that women at a nail salon, the employees, are making fun of her in Korean? So she brings George Costanza's dad, who is a Korean war vet and speaks the language, along to confirm.
Okay, that's it.
What?
Negore Andama, where's my tail? I heard every word you said. You got some nerve.
Thank you, Mr. Costanza. Andres wrote on our page, my personal guideline, English only if in close proximity of someone who I know doesn't speak the language. Otherwise, I don't see why it's anyone else's business what language I use. How about you? Lauren in Rockville Center, you're on WNYC. Thanks so much for calling.
Hi, Brian. This is Laurel from Rockville Center. I'm a nurse who has moved to a hospital that has a very high number of Spanish-speaking patients, so I've acquired some degree of fluency in the past 5 years, and some of the physicians do speak Spanish fluently, so oftentimes if I have to relate to them something about a patient, I will do so in Spanish to them to practice the language, and I make myself fairly clear, but I find that my colleagues who are mostly English-speaking, get really uncomfortable when I do this. And they're like, well, I don't know, you could be talking about me. So I just find that I have to sort of scale it back a little bit. As much as I love to practice with anyone who speaks Spanish at any time, anywhere who I encounter, I find that I have to temper it a bit more than I would like.
Interesting. So you're doing it not only in situations where the patient only speaks Spanish, but just to work on your Spanish and kind of to reach out to them at the same time, I guess,
improve.
Right?
Yeah. Y yo puedo hablar mucho mejor porque yo practico todos los días.
But the English speakers in the room feel sometimes uncomfortable, even if they don't suspect your motives.
But I just find, and I'm thinking, I just gave him blood pressure values, or I just was letting him know that the patient refused her medication, or I had a question, but it wasn't
anything.
So
it's like, what are you paranoid about?
Exactly.
Thank you for starting us off. How about On in East Windsor? You're on WNYC. On, thank you so much for calling in.
Hi, Brian.
So what's your experience?
So, well, I have two sort of experiences. One is my wife and I, we both speak Urdu, and sometimes when we're out in a public situation, she'll say something in Urdu about somebody who's in the vicinity, because she obviously doesn't want them to hear it. And to me, it seems very obvious that she's talking about that person, so it makes me extremely, extremely uncomfortable. So as a general rule, I try not to use... I try not to say anything in Urdu unless the context makes it clear what we're sort of saying. So if it's a sort of comical situation, then the context would make it clear that I'm making a joke or something like that. But in general, yeah, I try not to say anything in Urdu unless the context makes it clear that it's not gossip or something like that. And the other thing that I try to do is... because I'm often in the South Asian context, I try not to use Urdu if I'm not certain that the other person is not also an ethnic Urdu speaker.
Mm-hmm.
So, for example, if they're Punjabi or Bengali, then I wouldn't use Urdu. And
what's the victimization that you're trying to avoid?
What's the
victimization, or what are you trying to avoid by being so careful?
Oh, okay. Yeah, because you know, I wouldn't want to sort of. I don't want to assert the hegemony of that language over their own sort of cultural identities. And I don't want to like marginalize them by forcing them to speak to me in the language that maybe they don't identify with, simply because you know we look similar in appearance.
Urdu hegemony is not something that's come up a lot on the show, but but good, thank you for your sensitivity. Thank you for calling in and telling us about it. Nicole in Manhattan, you're on WNYC. Hi.
Hi. My beloved wife and I do have a disagreement about speaking foreign languages. Each of us is fluent in four languages. They're different languages. The overlapping one is Chinese, and we do speak that with our children at home, but she finds it very, very rude to speak it with the children when we're not at home. I'm not Chinese, by the way, neither is my wife or my children.
Mm-hmm.
And I will use Chinese or even Spanish to let the children know that I feel an adult in their environment is unsafe or that I feel they need to behave differently. She finds it incredibly rude, but I think it's a lot less rude than saying, this guy's a child molester or, you know, something similar. And I've also seen that my children now are formulating sentences by themselves in Spanish. They're already fluent in Chinese. Therefore, for me, it may certainly be rude. I agree with her on that. But the process has proven useful.
For what?
For teaching the kids a foreign language. They are now fluent. And if they don't get that constant practice, they wouldn't be. So I would rather be seen as rude and have children who are fluent in three languages, which they are, than be polite and have monolingual children.
So how are you going to resolve this conflict, Nicole?
Well, I do more child care, so she's fortunately not around that much when I'm doing it. And I try to respect her wishes, but when you're trying to raise a child with another language, sometimes you have to break some eggs to make that omelet.
By the way, you win the colorful background sound of the day award for any caller. I hear music back there. I hear what sounds like engine noise. So I don't know what
you... I'm sorry, we have a non-consensual renovation going on here in the home.
Nicole, thank you for your call. I appreciate it. Now we know what the sounds of non-consensual renovations are. Joseph in Brooklyn, you're on WNYC. Hi, Joseph.
Hi, Brian. How you doing?
Good. What's your experience?
I wanted to call in and tell you. So I'm a first-generation Lebanese-American. I grew up in a household speaking Arabic as well as English. But when I was a child, every time I would hear my parents speaking Arabic, I would be learning Arabic. They would be teaching me. But right when they wanted to talk, maybe gossip or say something about me that they didn't want me to know, they would always go to that higher level of Arabic where I couldn't keep up with them, and they would also quicken their pace of speaking, so I would just be falling behind. And it was funny because every time we'd be in a situation, we'd be maybe in a supermarket or at a dinner with our family, and they would always use it as an exclusion, okay, this is the big people's table, this is the little kids' table, just the language it divided us.
And then when you grew up and didn't speak totally fluent Arabic, were they upset?
Well, you left your heritage behind. Later on, to really embrace the language and learn and build on what they've already taught me. But it's funny because when I was in first grade, I was learning Arabic fluently. As a child, I was speaking it quite well. And during school, the teachers would get frustrated with me because I would switch over. Whenever it suited me, just for comfort, I would switch over and start speaking Arabic. And they got so frustrated, they actually had to call my mother in and reprimand her. They told her, you can't be teaching your son Arabic because he's having difficulty grasping, the language of English. And that's what we're trying to teach him here.
Right.
But they didn't understand the time. You could teach a child to be bilingual and it's not going to hurt. It's not going to hurt them because their brains are so, they're like sponges. They really absorb everything at that age. That's the best time to teach them. They didn't understand it at the time. So I got set back a little bit with my Arabic lessons.
That's a really interesting story. Yeah. Education of the parents on educating the child. Joseph, thank you very much. And Arum in Basking Ridge, you're on WNYC. Hi, Arum.
Hi, Brian. Good morning. How are you?
Good, thanks. What's your experience?
So my experience is I have two different contexts. The professional context is it is absolutely disrespectful for a multilingual speaker to speak any other language other than English, especially if everybody in the office workspace speaks English. In any context,
in the office, if you're having a conversation on the phone, what if you're on the phone with a family member?
Even then you should try to speak English, unless the other person absolutely cannot understand English, which is seldom the context here in this day and age.
Because just to not offend people and make them suspicious of your motivations?
Exactly. And then, we are trying to move away from the fundamental fabric of what makes U.S. the great, the melting pot. We do not have to create identities. Identities can be there in your four walls, but not in a person, in a professional setting, in a public space.
And you were going to make a second point.
The second point is, on the personal front, yes, I would like to have my kids speak multiple languages, and I teach them multiple languages at home. The way we practice is when we are by ourselves or when they are talking to family members, they use the language. But when I'm with my kids in a public space, I always, always, always speak English, same with the kids.
And why in that case, since it's just family member to family member?
If it is in a public setting, if it's a park or if it's in a theater, it's a public setting. We do not want people to be thinking that they're talking about something or being suspicious.
Mm-hmm.
We do not want to create any such notion unnecessarily.
Arun, thank you so much. And Enrique in Manhattan, you're on WNYC. Hi there.
Hi, yes. I'm a first-generation Bolivian. Parents come from Bolivia. I live in the States. But I'm fairly light-complected, so I've experienced it on both sides. I grew up in Pensacola, Florida, and my mom always in the grocery line in Spanish. Like, look at this woman cutting. She doesn't think anybody around her exists other than herself. And then she'll come up to New York and try to do that, and I'll have to tell her, Mom, much more people speak Spanish here, so it can be awkward in both instances. But then also, being lighter complex, a lot of people don't think that I speak Spanish. So I've been on the other end of hearing people talking about us and understanding what they're saying. But then also, too, sometimes when I'd like to practice Spanish, I get the reaction of like, look, we speak English. You don't have to speak our language. We can speak English well enough. So it's always interesting navigating people that do and don't speak Spanish.
Do you think there's a right and wrong, or you just have to be sensitive to people's experience or people's feelings in each context?
Yeah, just play it as it goes. Each one has a different context.
Enrique, thanks a lot for calling. And thanks to all of you for calling in on this. Great to hear from so many people from so many different language backgrounds. And those of you who are immigrants who called in and who are listening, keep it fresh. Don't go away, because in about 15 or 20 minutes, we will have a 4th of July call-in specifically for immigrants when we invite you to be the new Tocquevilles. We'll ask, what do you notice about the United States that the native-born don't see? So that'll be a call-in for immigrants coming up in about 15 or 20 minutes. But first, when science about the brain forgets that we have a mind, we will talk to Sally Satel, a psychiatrist, and Eric Lilienthal, a psychologist, co-authors of a new book called Mindless Neuroscience. Stay with us.